We're going to be doing a lesson today titled, Be Careful to Follow Every Command. There are things in the Scriptures that help us. There are people, and we talked about it some in class this morning, who are very anxious to always get everything exact, and in doing so, they quite often mess up more than they fix. And it happens a lot among jealous preachers that go around the world. And you might not think that really happens, but I've been in the preaching business for a long time. I'm going to tell you, it's true. It's there. What we're going to deal with today is going to come out of the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to be in chapter 8, if you want to go there. If you've memorized the text, you know, you'll be better off. But if not, you can open your book to it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 1 to 18 says, Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on an oath to your ancestors. Now, I want you to know we're the ancestors. We've been given a promise. I have a God that's a God of promises. And I know this. If God says He will save me if I join Him in covenant, I know that will stand. I also know that within that, there's a lot of stuff I do that's not the way God would have me to do it, but He still honors His word. We have a God who's on our side, and He will take care of us. He said, Remember how the Lord God led you all the way in the wilderness for 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. Have you ever wondered when you were dealing with stuff? You know, you're good, God-fearing people. You love God. You love the Bible. You spend some time in it. Some of you do more than others, but we spend time in the book. Sometimes things don't just go right, and we find ourselves in a flatness or in a situation. All of us have things that we deal with every day. It doesn't matter who you are, something is having to be dealt with in your life. That's just the way it happened because people didn't follow what God said in the beginning. Had we all done what God called us to do in the beginning, we could sing peace in the valley and really mean it. It'd just be euphoric. He says in verse 2, Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way through the wilderness for 40 years? Listen to this. Why? To humble and test you in order to know what's in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. Do you know that God wrote it in the Scriptures that He's going to test you? He's going to test me. He's going to test all of us. He humbled you, He says, causing you to hunger, feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes didn't wear out. Your feet did not swell during the 40 years. Know then that in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Has anybody in here ever felt like at some point God was disciplining you? Like, you better tighten up, son. Now, I had plenty of that from my mama and daddy, but it's nothing near what God does with it. He goes on and says, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walk in obedience to Him and revering Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out in the valleys and in the hills, and land with wheat and barley and fig trees and pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will be lacking nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. Obviously, the people of God, as they're tracking through life, are dealing with issues every day of their life, just like we do. You and I deal with them every single day of our life. He goes on, he gets down to verse 10. He says, when you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the land He's given you. If there's anything that we're seeing more than other stuff right now, is an ungrateful nation. There are people who will take anything you have. They will take you to the cleaners. They will lie, cheat, and steal. And that's everywhere from the White House down, just to be truthful. But listen to this. God watches that stuff. That does not get by. It does not go unnoticed, whether it's in any one of us or any person in the country or in the world, as far as that's concerned. I want to be the best guy I can be. That's hard for me. I want to be a good guy. I want to be the guy, if you went back into the cowboy movies, I want to be the guy that wears the white hat. I want to be that guy. Verse 7 and 8 says, the Lord did not set His affection on you. You hear that? He didn't set His affection on you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept an oath. He swore to your ancestors that He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land. He bought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from slavery, from the power of the Pharaoh of Egypt. God said, I delivered you. The people of Israel had very important things they had to do to please God. The first thing was they were called to teach that every one of them were chosen. How many of y'all played Little League baseball? You don't have that arm up very high, Herman. It ain't looking good. I wanted to play baseball. I'm not athletic, but I wanted to play, and I got picked for the team. Wasn't but four of us. We did the tryouts, and they put me in the dugout and wouldn't let me play. I was chosen for the team, but I didn't get to play. God chose you. Do you know God chose you? You didn't become this great person. And God said, ooh, look at that. I might want one of them. God chose you before you were ever born. They were not the chosen because of their size, but they were chosen because of God who chose to choose them. God could take an earthworm and empower it to do anything He wanted to on this planet or any other if He chose. Do you realize that because of the covenant you made with Jesus Christ, you are the chosen? You say, well, I got so many flaws. Have you listened to some of the stuff the disciples that became apostles did? Help me with this. Wasn't there one of the apostles chosen by God named Judas Iscariot? Wasn't there one? If he was in a cowboy movie, he'd be a good boy, bad boy. Jesus put him right in line. Now, let me tell you something. Anything you are at or above Judas, you're still in good shape. Quit beating yourself up because you mess up. The odds are you'll mess up several times today. And if you hang out with me very much, we'll multiply that by a few extras. But here's what I know. In all of my weaknesses, God knows I love Him. God knows I've done what He's called me to do, whether I did it like everybody else or not. I know God called me to do what I had to do. When Nita and I went to get married, she had lived by a Baptist preacher for years and years and years, and she watched the fights. So when we decided to get married, she said, "I need to ask you one thing." I said, "What?" She said, "Just promise me you'll never be a preacher." Now, that was the funniest thing I had ever heard. That wasn't even about where I was fixing to go. We got married 3 years later. I couldn't tell her what I needed to tell her. She looked at me and said, "You want to go be a preacher, don't you?" I said, "I do." And that's how you got stuck with me. Can God change people? Even cranky wives? The Lord God didn't set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to you. I am sick and tired of watching people have a saved, lost relationship with God. That's all in your head. If you're saved with Jesus Christ, He don't do that. I want you to be secure. You're going to have flaws. You're going to hang out. Look who you hang out with. You're going to have flaws. But God will take care of you. The hungering they had during that time wasn't an accident, actually. God allowed people in the wilderness. If you read the text, they got hungry. Everybody got real hungry. Well, you've seen hunger several times through the Scripture. God used that as a training thing. Hungering was not an accident. God wanted you to experience. Is it possible that some of the evil right now in the world is brought under control to call evil people back to righteousness? Is that possible? Can you get hungry enough that you say, "God, I give up, I quit fighting you"? How many thousands of people have done that, or millions? Trials are there to create in us a dependence on God. That's what trials are for. This thing that's been going on for the last couple of years, we've had people right here, we've got people right now out because of COVID. I couldn't even spell COVID when they first come out with it. And I'm wondering, what in the world is it, you know? And then all of a sudden, it kind of seems to go away, and then it mutates and comes back looking like something else. And we're in a nation filled with that junk. Matter of fact, we're in a world with it. But here's what I know. God is not blind, and He is no fool. And I have seen God allow pestilence on this earth for the reason of bringing back people into His covenant. Just a little nudge to come back home. What did our people do around the country? We had people that hadn't been back here since COVID started. You count the seats, can't you? We used to have full seats. We've got people who left and jumped into a bigger box across town because they had more people. Well, that's good. That gives them more COVID over there, if that's what they want. You and I can stand in the presence of God anywhere on this earth and still be righteous in His eyes. Don't you ever forget that. God is teaching a critical truth in the wilderness when they're going through and all of this stuff they're going through. And when God puts you through a wilderness, unless you are just a hateful somebody, you'll come out the other side better people. God does that to purge things, to get people off their high horse and do better in their lives. Sometimes all we see is that which God will provide. Moses says that there was a greater message that the people were supposed to learn. And so in all of that, all of the changes, I'm not going to give you all this. I'm going to tell you this. You go back and read it, okay? But all of this is here to teach us stuff. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. Yeah, that's why it's so wonderful. Because it was set there for the purpose of things like this. So we could learn and relearn and hear and rehear the same truths in any generation, no longer how long God chooses to let the world be going through. 8:4, the clothes didn't wear out. I'd like that, especially with Booth. Your clothes didn't wear out. Your feet didn't well during 40 years. You know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Is it possible? I'm not saying God's doing it. Is it possible God is disciplining us, saying to us, maybe you're on the right track? I chose not to do it in the class today because I wanted as many of us we get in here to do this. But I'm going to tell you what. God puts things before us when He sees the need. Tells us, as such and such has gone before you, He points back to other times. And if we've ever read about all those other times, they come crashing in here and say, you know what, I do need to be something better. I need to be a person who will follow His commands. You may say to yourself, verse 17, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors. You and I haven't done a thing that God ought to do anything for us, most likely. Especially if you hang out with me. But every hour of every day, we are being blessed by the Creator. And we live in a world where God follows us and sees us. He honors our work. He honors when we do that He called us to do. And if we can learn the power of that message, we come to a better place. If you ever forget the Lord your God, verse 19, and follow the other gods and worship and bow down for them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so will you be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Moses, in this document of Deuteronomy, teaches that the wilderness is the place of testing. We got two choices. We either pass the test or we fail the test. Now, what the wilderness does, what it did in Deuteronomy, it reveals what's in our heart. We get to see in the heart of Jesus when he was brought in and put before man, and how Jesus acted. Jesus showed in Matthew 4 that he completely trusted his Father. Let me ask you a question here. Is God the Father God? Is the Holy Spirit God? Is Jesus Christ God? Does the Father, Son, and the Spirit dwell with us? Does the Holy Spirit live inside of you? Yes or no? So if you go over here, is the Holy Spirit here with me? If I go out the back door, does he go out with me? But he's still staying in there with you. Do you know? All God calls us to do is stay in his care. You're going to blunder. You're going to mess up. You're going to say wrong things. You wish you hadn't have said, do things you wish you hadn't have done. God imputed his righteousness to you. If that's true, then you are completely covered in God's righteousness, not your own. How righteous is God's righteousness? If I'm wearing that, even all my flaws, how righteous is that making me? Fully righteous. Now, we can moan about it, or we can rejoice. Whatever our choice is, God made the right choice. The church said, amen. Amen.